It's time for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870. Or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Chris Van Cleve. Now, as you know, June is National Rose Month, and we hope you're celebrating by sharing or planting roses in the world around you. If you've been following us on Facebook this week, you've seen the buzz that we have partnered with the folks at Proven Winners and Haven Brand Soil Conditioners to give you a chance at the rose garden of your dreams. We're giving away an 8-pack of roses from Proven Winners, the Oh So Easy collection, and as well as a 9-pack of Haven Brand Soil Conditioning Teas to help get those roses off to a great start. Now, you have until midnight to like us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/rosechatradio to enter to win an 8-pack of Oh So Easy roses and a 9-pack of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners. Good luck. Stacy Hervala joins us today to talk about this wonderful collection of roses. She's from Proven Winners. Welcome to Rose Chat, Stacy.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we're so glad you could join us. I've been doing a little bit of research on Oh So Easy roses this week, and they seem oh so easy to grow. Tell us a little bit about them.
They are oh so easy to grow, and in fact, that's the very reason that we offer them, is because they are some of the easiest to grow roses that we could find. Most of them come to us from breeder Chris Warner out of England, and he was a school teacher. Just a sort of a hobbyist rose breeder for most of his career, making his money as a school teacher. When he finally got so successful that he was able to leave the education field and become a full-time rose breeder. And he also worked to represent a lot of amateur rose breeders in England. So he had really a big portfolio to bring us. So we've got roses from him. Most of the Oh So Easy roses are from him or from a gentleman named Colin Horner, who has unfortunately since passed away, but leaves a great legacy among the Oh So Easy roses. And in fact, some of the best and most popular Oh So Easy roses, including Strawberry Crush and Peachy Cream. So the main uniting factor between all of the Oh So Easy roses is really just their disease resistance. There's a big range of colors. There's a big range of habits. Most of them are low growing, but there is a range of habits. And the thing is, they're just as easy as possible to grow. When we select our roses, we have greenhouses. You know, we work with breeders all over the world. So we have greenhouses full of roses. And it's too hard. You know, it's very easy to, I'm sure you guys know, to get really emotional about the roses. Oh, this one's so pretty. I really want to offer this. But, you know, nowadays, you can't really necessarily afford to do that if you find out that it's, you know, a disease-ridden monster that's going to become really high maintenance in your garden. So what we do and the way that the Oh So Easy roses were selected is we basically shove everything. Literally, we pretty much shove it into a big old greenhouse. We overhead water. We do not spray a single thing. Everything is packed really close together. And we've got probably anywhere between 8 and 15 specimens of each variety. And if anything gets any kind of black spot, powdery mildew, anything like that, it automatically goes out. Goes out the window. We don't even look at the foliage or, you know, the color of the flowers. It's just out. So, you know, we have a really rigorous selection process, and Oh So Easy's were the first ones that we offered in 2008. They were good enough to make the cut to be extremely disease-resistant, free-flowering, and really, really easy to grow.
Wow. So how many years does a rose have to be in that trial before you actually say, okay, we're going to take this one to the source?
Right. Well, it's going to be probably a total of 5, and sometimes perhaps a little bit more, but we usually have 2 trials, you know, just in the greenhouse, you know, evaluating for the disease resistance, just sort of doing that natural selection. If they can't handle the overhead watering, if they can't handle the close growing, they're out. And then we do 3 years of container and production trials, because, of course, if a grower can't produce it well, and if it doesn't look good in a container when it's sitting in the garden center, it's not going to sell. So It's usually about 2 years of field, about 2 years of initial testing, and then 3 years of field and production and container trials. So a good 5 years, sometimes a little bit more. Sometimes we have some reservations about something, but we think it's really interesting and we want to give it a little more time. We'll go ahead and give it a couple more years. But 5 years is typical for roses from the time we get it to the time we introduce it, at least 5 or 6 years.
Wow. Sounds like a pretty rigorous process. But
it's
definitely worth that effort to get something to to somebody like me who's just a backyard gardener who wants a pretty rose in the garden and don't have to worry about a lot of spray and that sort of thing. So that's great news. For a lot of deep south, I garden in south of Birmingham, Alabama, and it gets hot down here, and it doesn't always rain when I think it should. And I don't always have time to water. So how are these roses as far as drought tolerance is concerned?
Well, they are very drought tolerant. One of the things that you will see if you look at all of the Oh So Easy roses together, or really any of them individually even, very, very thick, leathery, glossy foliage, which does help their drought resistance. Now, again, they're not going to be something that you can just leave and, to wither in the back or, like anything else. They are going to, want some water. But because they have that thick, leathery, glossy foliage, they do have pretty good drought resistance, especially compared to, more standard roses that weren't bred for, being really tough and easy to grow. It also gives them, believe it or not, really excellent resistance to Japanese beetles. And you can come to our trial gardens, in the middle of the summer when the Japanese beetles are absolutely voracious, and you will see, we have a lot of side-by-side comparisons. There are far fewer Japanese beetles on the Oh So Easy and much less damage than on any other, regular type of rose. It's really quite incredible to see.
Well, I can tell you from this morning, I actually posted a picture to Instagram of a Japanese beetle eating one of my yellow roses. So,
you are stopping down there? Oh, you poor thing.
Oh, yeah, they're already starting. It's hopefully it won't be the swarm of the Japanese beetles that we had a couple of years ago, but that's great. What about fragrance? We had a guest on a couple of weeks ago, and he said the very first thing people do when they approach a rose is down goes the nose to the rose. They want to know about fragrance.
Right. Well, unfortunately, when you are breeding with a very specific goal in mind, and in the case of Oh So Easy Roses, that specific goal was disease resistance, a lot of those other desirable characteristics can sort of go by the wayside. So most of the Oh So Easy Rose series is not, unfortunately, fragrant. We do have one variety that we call Oh So Easy Fragrance Spreader, and it really has quite a lovely light perfume. But that plant is one that, it's a fabulous plant if you want to cover a bank or you want to use it as a ground cover, but that is not going to be your little perennial border or landscaping plant because it is very, very vigorous and it will do a great job at covering the ground, but it's not going to be one that you want to have, right there, among all of your beautiful perennials. So at the moment, that is our only fragrant one, but, we have so many roses that were sent to us from Chris Warner, the original breeder, and, we're constantly evaluating and looking for the next big thing. And now that we've established such great disease resistance in roses, now breeders can start looking at breeding that fragrance back in and really sort of building off of what they've already created in disease resistance.
Yeah, I love the idea of the fragrance spreader. I don't think a lot of people think about roses when they think about ground cover. And
and it's one of the best.
Yeah, it keeps the pest away, too, with the thorn.
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about anyone trying to see through that.
Yeah, that's true.
So I do want to talk a little bit about this beautiful collection. Just reading over the list of the names made me hungry. We've got spices and desserts, drinks and cakes. They're great names for roses. Let's start off with talking about my husband's favorite dessert, which is cherry pie. What can you tell us about this beautiful?
Well, cherry pie comes down actually from the famous Meillon family in France. Mm-hmm. It is the only rose in the Oh So Easy series that is from Meillon, so, it has a very, very good pedigree that way. And cherry pie, I would say, it's the biggest of the Oh So Easy series. It's going to get to just about 3.5 to 4 feet tall. So most of the Osoeezes are low and mounding. Cherry pie is actually quite large and more of a shrub type of rose. But it is the one that hands down gets the most attention when people visit our trial gardens and they see the cherry pine in bloom, that rich color and just the sheer number of flowers. It's the one that people, their jaw just drops and they say, I want that. So great color and really that nice sort of cerise cherry red, not a true lipstick red, not a pink, but just like that true cerise color. Very, very nice.
Well, is it true that this one doesn't need any spraying or any pruning at all?
Well, you know, they definitely don't need any spraying. And as for pruning, you know, that's sort of a matter of what you want the rose to do for you. It's, you know, a lot of times, I don't need to tell you guys, but the sort of reputation that roses have for pruning goes back to the hybrid teas, which, of course, if you don't prune them, yours is going to have a few, you know, skinny little flowers way up at the top. Now, the shrub roses, they don't strictly need pruning, but, you know, they are so vigorous that you're going to get a lot of growth. And, you know, like any other rose, the more new growth you can encourage, the more flowers it's going to put on. So we do recommend just sort of a light trim at the beginning of spring, but it's not that fussy, you know, oh, what, you know, do I cut back to this bud? I mean, you can literally just go ahead with hedge trimmers and cut it back. Or, you know, if you forget it, if you're too busy in the spring, it's definitely still going to look great. And because it is so free flowering, even if you cut it back after its initial bloom, you're still going to see tons more flowers in the summer.
Nice. You said most of these were not fragrant. What about this one? Does it smell like cherry pie?
Unfortunately, it does not. It does look like it.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, actually. You also mentioned that this rose is continuously in bloom, and in a cottage garden like mine, all season-long color is so important. So I can see a great benefit to having something like this in my garden for sure. Stacey, I'm looking at the picture of paprika, and it is so lovely. It's an orange color with a bright yellow center. Could you tell us a little bit more about this one?
You know, paprika is such a great rose, and it's definitely our best seller. It's the most popular one. So if you are going to your garden center and you're looking for an Osoeezy rose, I'm going to bet you dollars to donuts, the one that you're going to have, if they only have one, is going to be paprika. We introduced it in 2008. So it was one of the very first. And it's just such a unique color, you know, that really nice warm orange with a yellow eye. So it really has a lot of depth, even though it's a single rose, just a single, you know, layer of petals, that it has a yellow center. So it really just gives it a lot of visual depth. And it's also really, really low growing. So this is, you know, unlike fragrance fetter that I said earlier, not really a candidate for your perennial border. Paprika is absolutely a fantastic plant to go ahead and put into your perennial border, put into your landscaping, even put in a container.
I wondered about that. I think it would be beautiful in the container to make a splash of color.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, there's one that I'm just sure that I can't live without, and that's honey bun. I absolutely love the color. How tall does it get?
So Osoeezy honey bun reaches about, you're looking at about 1.5 to 2 feet tall, and just a nice, tidy little round mound for honey bun. And honey bun has a really unique color. It's sort of a buff, creamy white, so it's really sort of a designer's dream because it's just so easy to incorporate with any color scheme. You know, paprika is really, really a warm color, and honey bun is just one of those, no matter what kind of color scheme you've already got established in your garden, you'll be able to use it. It's a good blender.
Looks like it has pink and yellow and all, goes all the way to cream, so I can see that I'd have lots of uses for that one in my garden. And you say that all of these roses are very drought tolerant. I'm so glad to hear that. Last year, you probably had the same weather we had. We had 9 weeks without rain, and even though we're not,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, and even though we're not in the deep south like Chris, it gets dry and it gets hot. So it's so nice to think that we're going to have something so beautiful in our garden, even when it's hot.
You know, it really is, and if you just give these roses, you know, a good, you know, 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch at planting time, you are going to see that drought resistance increase so much. They're really going to be able to make better use of any water that they do get, and, you know, really, really thrive. Just that leathery coating on the leaf really helps minimize the transpiration or the water loss off the leaf surfaces that causes wilting and stress.
Great. Let's finish up with talking about the spicy one, mango salsa. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, mango salsa is definitely one that people, it's just got the most unbelievable exotic color. It looks like you should be down, you know, in the Caribbean drinking a fancy drink with this kind of flower on your table, even though it's just a rose. It just has such an incredible tropical color. It's kind of pink, it's kind of orange, and it's completely exotic. And it's a really great eye-catching plant, and it forms a small mound, so it's more in line with paprika or honey bun in, you know, the small mounding form, but it's just covered in these, I mean, you know, we can't even, we, you know, complain all the time at work because we can never get a picture that quite captures that incredible, incredible color, and it changes so much from when it's new to when it's at peak to when it starts to fade, you know, you just see such a huge, huge range of color changes through that period. So it's really just a really dynamic and interesting plant for the garden.
It's very, very pretty. You know, there's truly a color for about every rose lover in this collection. They're from the very faint and exotic looking to the spicy mango salsa.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a couple of new varieties that will be out to gardeners next year. We just introduced them to growers this year. And we have a pure yellow called Lemon Zest that will be coming out, a variety called Italian Ice, which is yellow sort of fading to peachy pink on the outside, and a really interesting variety called Pink Cupcake. And this is the most double form that we've had so far in the Oh So Easy series. It's more in line with the size of cherry pie, so a bigger shrub rose, but really just the most delicious, luscious, pure pink.
Well, they have such delicious names, so I'm interested in how did you come up with the names of the collection?
Well, you know, naming is always a very interesting part of working in our industry. And basically, you know, Paprika named itself. So Paprika was pretty much the first one that they decided to introduce. And, I mean, really, you just look at it and you think, you know, spicy, warm paprika colors. And everything just sort of followed. And you know, roses are just so sweet and so delightful because it's very, very easy to just go with these really great connotations of, you know, food and home and the kitchen. And you know, they do make great cut flowers as well. So, you know, I do encourage you to bring them in and pair with your meal. If you're having a nice Spanish meal, you can bring in a bouquet of paprika. And,
ooh, what a good
dessert.
Idea. Ooh, very good idea. I love that. Let's move on to talking a little bit about some of your beautiful companion plants. I love beautiful companions with my roses, and one of your companions in particular is known for restoring the reputation of the old-fashioned cleomys. So tell us a little bit about the cleomys that you have out now.
Well, we have several cleomys, but the new ones that, you know, we're really, really excited about are the Senorita series. One of the great things about them, well, actually, there's three really special things about the Senorita series. You have Senorita Rosalita and Senorita Blanca, and they are seedless. So if you live in an, I mean, Cleome is one of those great old-fashioned plants people just love to have pop up, but, you know, it can definitely get to be a little bit too much, so you don't have to worry about it spreading, and because it is seedless, it actually flowers more. It doesn't just say, okay, well, I've done my job here, I set seed, I can just, you know, I don't have to flower anymore. It makes it really continuously flowering and nonstop. They are also dwarf, which is a really nice aspect to pair with the Oh So Easy series, which tends to be lower growing. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have a big 3-4 foot tall cleome and a little 1 foot rose. You've got, you know, a good, you know, 18 inch cleome and a little 12-18 inch rose. So they really stay in a nice scale with one another. And here's another thing, they don't have that typical skunky cleome smell. So they make a really, really nice companion for all of those aspects. And they're going to both flower throughout the entire summer, so they'll really never let you down.
Last year, Chris kept sharing pictures of his Senorita Rosalita, and I came down with the worst case of flower envy. And to have it, and it was middle of the year, and I couldn't find it, so it was in everyone else's garden, but not in mine. This year, I have it, and I can tell you that it is completely beautiful, so well-behaved, and pairs so well with my roses, so I really love it.
I look forward to seeing pictures of that.
Very nice, very nice. another thing that I'm so excited about is your collection of the buddleia or the butterfly bushes. And thing like the ones in my garden. They're called butterfly bushes for a reason, because the butterflies and the hummingbirds cannot stay off of them. Tell us a little about this collection.
Yeah, it's a really interesting group of plants. And we have several different buddleias that we offer, but the one that is really important for people to know about is the Lo and Behold series. And this was bred in North Carolina by Dr. Dennis Warner. And what's really exciting about this is that they are a dwarf, so they stay really, really nice and small. So, again, they're good for containers. They're good for tucking into your perennial beds. You don't just have to have, you know, a dedicated shrub border in your landscaping. And if we have any listeners out on the West Coast, this is a really, really important aspect of them, too. They are non-invasive. They are completely seedless and sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who have not had to deal with that before, butterfly bush actually became a noxious weed in Oregon and Washington and was banned.
It
was popping up in the woods, and it was, you know, choking out all this native vegetation, and they banned it. You know, gardeners in Oregon and Washington could no longer grow or purchase buddleia. So it was really exciting that, you know, we were able to get this plant working with North Carolina State University, and it tested with the Department of Agriculture in Oregon and Washington, and is now permitted for sale in those states. So their butterflies benefit, their gardeners benefit, and, you know, they're fragrant. They just have that really good, pure color. We have a blue. We have purple haze, which is my personal favorite because it's big and it's bold and it's crazy. It's a dwarf plant, but the flowers are really big and just really, really graceful. And then we have two very small ones, Lilac Chip and Ice Chip, that are really, really tidy mounds. And, you know, I say that, and you kind of have to see it to believe it, but they just stay in these really nice little clumps. So, you know, it's almost like we've made shrubs a little bit more like perennials, which makes it a lot easier for people to design and do new things with them.
Do you have any trimming tips? You know, what's the best way to shape this shrub?
Well, you know, every garden is different, right? And I really encourage gardeners to put these plants in their gardens with their own vision. I mean, that's what gardening is all about, right? You don't just necessarily have to settle for what the plant wants to do. You can kind of make it do certain things that you would like it to do. So, as I said earlier, they're not like hybrid teas where you're really going to need to get in there and prune them carefully and think about the overall shape. They're going to naturally stay in a compact shape. But if you want them to be smaller, if you want to encourage more new growth, you know, a light trim in spring is absolutely perfect. They don't require any deadheading. You know, they'll keep flowering, but just a light trim in spring to just sort of keep them within the parameters you would like them to stay, because they are kind of, most of them, low and spreading. So if they start getting a little bit too far, you know, out to the left or the right, you can go ahead and just, you know, cut that back down to the base. And as far as the mound goes, you know, the height, just, you know, light trim just to encourage that branching and that new growth. It's going to be much more floriferous than the old growth.
Well, Stacey, I want to ask you about the Gardener's Idea Book. I saw that online. We put our address in and got one this year, and it was awesome. I know our listeners want to hear more about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're really proud of that. That is a little booklet that we put together for, you know, gardeners and garden centers to get out to their customers. And it's basically just a lot of inspiration, you know, a lot of different ideas for designing your landscape, putting containers together, different color combinations, different decorating ideas. And you can actually request that on the Proven Winners website. You just go to provenwinners.com and you will see the Gardener's Idea Book sign up right there. It's a really, really fun piece. You can also visit your local garden center. A lot of them will offer that if they offer Proven Winners. And you can, again, just visit provenwinners.com and click on a retailer locator to find one near you and ask if they do have the Gardener's Idea Book. And I work in the Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. We're the ones who offer the roses. And we actually put together a book for gardeners as well. And that has a lot more information about the Osoyoosi series, and you'll see all the pictures of all of the plants in it, including those new varieties I just mentioned. And I will send you guys the link so you can post it on your Facebook page or on your website where people can go to request that so they don't have to try to frantically write it down. because it's a little bit of a longer link, but, you know, we send that out complimentary too, and it's just a really good reference guide, and it's a great thing to have around in winter, you know, when you got the doldrums and you're just waiting for spring to come and looking for a little inspiration.
Right. That's awesome. Well, we will definitely post that link out on our Facebook page and at rosechatradio.com so our listeners can request that book. One thing I wanted to ask you before our time runs out is about the importance of regional advice. You know, I live in the Deep South, or, you know, we call that the Southeast, and, you know, Teresa lives up in Indiana, and you know, you're up in Michigan. And so, you know, to me it's important to know how different plant varieties are going to grow in my area as opposed to somewhere else. So can you speak a little bit to that and the regional gardeners program that you guys have?
Absolutely. I would love to. So last year we started a blog working with gardeners all over the U.S. and Canada to sort of give reports and give their perspective about the unique situation of gardening where they live. So, you know, we have a western region, we have western Canada, we have eastern Canada, we have the south, which is ably represented by Bea Nash, who is Red Dirt Rambling. It's, a lot of people knew her blog before. Caroline Binder represents us down in Florida. So we have people all over, and they really just give a unique perspective. You know, for example, just talking to you guys today, I learned that Japanese beetles were already eating Chris's garden, where, you know, up here we're not going to see them for about a month. So, you know, it's so easy to, you know, get really enclosed in your own reality of your garden, and you just find out that things are so different, and you learn so much when you see what other people have to contend with and how they get around their challenges and the unique benefits that they have gardening where they do. So all you have to do to find our blog is, again, go to frugalwinners.com, and you will see it right there on the main page. It's called Wherever You Grow, and you can see reports from all over the country and see what they're doing.
Wow. Such great information, advice, and such a beautiful line of roses. Stacey, I want to thank you so much for being on today's show, and I'd love to have you back sometime to talk about another collection of roses that you guys have called the Oh So Happy Collection.
Well, and I would absolutely love to come back. And before I go, I want to say that the Oh So Easy series is actually 10 different varieties at this point. So whoever wins the contest, we will work with them, and they can pick the 8 varieties that they like the best. So we'll definitely have some options there, and I look forward to hearing who the winners and sending them some plants. And I wanted to thank you guys for having me.
Well, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, happy gardening.
Happy gardening to you. Now, don't forget to visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/rosechatradio. Like our page and tell us why you'd like to win these roses for your chance to win an 8-pack of beautiful Oh So Easy roses, plus an assortment of authentic Haven brand soil conditioning teas. Now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Rose Chat Radio.
Hi, this is Jackie D'Elia with Southern Post Journal, and today I want to talk to you about manure compost tea. This is Authentic Haven brand from California. One of the things that I really like about this is how easy it is to apply. It's a simple cotton bag filled with composted manure. You drop it in your bucket, typically a 1 to 5 gallon bucket of water. Drop in your tea bag. You'll notice some of the brown liquids coming out, and that's the manure starting to mix with the water. Once that's finished, 1 to 3 days, you'll have some fantastic manure tea ready for putting on your plants. So I've got my manure tea brewing for about 3 days, and I'm going to take a peek in there and see what it looks like. It's got a great color, it's got a great smell, and it's ready to be applied to my garden. So whether you choose to put it in your watering can and a sprayer, or just take a bucket and drench it into your vegetable garden, it's very easy to use. I use it in my garden, and I highly recommend it. So give it a try.
Hey, guys. It's time for our Rose Show Roundup. Time to mark your calendars and go out to see the beautiful roses on display in your area. Coming up on June 22nd, we have several rose shows. The Motherlode Rose Society in Jackson, California is having their show. The Grand Valley Rose Society in Grand Rapids, Michigan is having their show. And the Delaware Area Rose Society in Delaware, Ohio. The Pacific Northwest District Rose Society in Seattle, Washington. The Spokane Rose Society in Spokane, Washington. The Gateway Rose Society in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And then on June 23rd, the Rocky Mountain District Rose Society in Denver, Colorado is having their rose show. You can check out the full listing of rose shows around the U.S. at roseshow.com.
Wow, Teresa, it's been another great broadcast of Rose Chat Radio. I can't wait to try out some of these oh-so-easy roses.
Oh, I know. They were so beautiful. I'm just so excited about Honey Bun for sure. I think that's just going to be such a nice pairing with my other roses.
You know, I'm with Greg, our producer, who said before we went on the air, if cherry pie smelled like cherry pie, we would just end up eating those shrubs.
Yeah, all of the names of those roses. I mean, you're going to put them on your table, and they're going to make you drool and make you hungry.
I know. You know, I've been thinking more and been reading a lot about, you know, National Rose Month and about how the rose almost wasn't our national floral emblem or our nation's flower. But it was another flower, wasn't it?
It sure was. Actually, David Burpee was very enthusiastic in his plight to make the marigold the national flower. He called the marigold the flower of the people. And he's been about 10 years trying to convince everyone that the marigold should have its place.
Wow. I'll tell you, marigolds have place in my garden protecting my tomatoes from bugs, but I still love the rose as our national flower, don't you?
Oh, it's so beautiful and elegant, and, you know, it's just, there's nothing like the rose. There's just so many different varieties, but they're all just beautiful, and they just add so much to our world. They just have a richness that I think speaks well to being the national flower.
Yeah. Well, you've had a busy week this week, haven't you? You've got all sort of rose things going on in your world, don't you?
We've had the Indianapolis Rose Society to come visit. We've had the Master Gardeners from Hamilton County to come visit. We've had several small groups of friends that wanted to see the roses this year, and another group coming tomorrow. We're going to finish out a big week of roses.
Wow. So are you planning on exhibiting any roses in the Indianapolis Rose Show?
Yes, I've got a few. We've had lots and lots of rain and lots of storms, and so some of my hopes have been dashed, but I am a novice this year, so they're not expecting too many great things out of me. But when you have as many roses as I do, you think, surely, to goodness, there's a queen out there somewhere. But I'm not sure that I have that, but I am prepared to take my best and give it a shot.
Well, I'll tell you, Teresa, it only takes one rose to win the queen, so never give up hope. I always go and enter your blooms for no other reason. Just show folks who come to the show how beautiful the roses are and what can be grown right there in the Indianapolis area.
I love to tell the story of last year. It was our 9 weeks of drought. And my garden, although I have a lot of roses, there weren't too many blooming. And I thought, oh, the rose show is just going to be a dud. I'm going to go and I'm going to support, but it's going to be a dud. There just is not going to be that many blooms. And when you walk into their showroom, and it was just full of beautiful, fragrant, perfect roses, I was just blown away. The care, I knew the care that had gone into that, and it was just amazing, and I want to be a part of that. It was very exciting, and I appreciate the effort that goes into that, and I want to be a part of that. So if I even get an honorable mention, Chris, you'll be able to hear me all the way to Alabama.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us today for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. And we'd love to hear your comments and feedback on today's show or any show. Just send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. You can find us on Twitter simply by following the Rose Chat hashtag. You can like Rose Chat Radio on Facebook. And be sure to check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for a full archive of all previous broadcasts. You know, we believe becoming a member of the American Rose Society, as well as your local Rose Society, are decisions that you won't regret. Check them out online at ars.org.
Well, it's been great to be with you in the Talk Roses, but until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.